I want to greet you, first of all, in the name of Jesus. And it's exciting to be back. I know we've been gone for some time, and we were back for Father's Day and then gone right away again. But we've been on quite a journey. And if we get time, I want to share some of it. I know Elvin and I were talking this morning. It's probably not as important, or doesn't seem as, it's not going to seem the same to y'all because y'all weren't there, but the things that have happened and the things that we've experienced, and, you know, and I think of Jesus often. He says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered or the things that he experienced. And I think of that a lot. It's like, wow, the trust and the faith in Jesus that gets built on these journeys is incredible. And this morning, as I thought of that, I had a message all planned this whole week. I was studying for something, and I thought, you know. And this morning, about 3 o'clock, I woke up, and I couldn't sleep. And my mind kept churning and churning and churning, and this whole story here kept coming up to me. So I thought, well, you know what? I finally got up. I don't remember what time it was I got up, but I was just in a turmoil of thoughts. And I wanted to rely on something I've already studied for so long, and it was like, no, we need to go with this. So here we are with something that I just got up this morning and I jotted some things down and I thought, you know what, that's what we're going to go with. And it's the life of David, King David. And we can look at him as King David or Shepherd Boy, whichever one we choose to look at. And this morning, I want this to be a children's Sunday. But I thought, you know what, so children, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. So pay attention. And I thought, I'm not going to bring them all up front here. It's liable to get too long. And I'm not good at occupying little children. Not as good as Elvin is with sitting up here. But I just want to say that I just like to share this with the children in mind as we go through some of this here. And so there's a lot of questions I have. But if you would like to follow along, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. And it's an old story everybody's familiar with, and I call it a story, and yet there's some profound meanings behind the things that have happened here. And as you think of David and Goliath, and you think about what happened there, we don't have a lot of children here this morning, do we? There's some sitting here and there. So I want some of you children just to pay attention. I want to ask some questions. I want to pick some brains this morning with some things that are in here. And I'm not going to read through 1 Samuel 17. I just want you to, everything that I'm asking is going to be found in 1 Samuel 17. So as we follow along, you can kind of keep after where we're going. But first of all, as we think of the whole idea of David the Israelites and the Philistines. One of the things I see that's going on there is a battle between righteousness or God's people and a world system. God's people and a world system. Okay, today it's a spiritual battle, but here it's a physical battle. And as we look at that, there were two hills out there, and I just got done saying it. The Philistines were on the one hill, and there's a valley between them, and the Israelites were on another hill. And I like to look at the whole idea that the Philistines represented the world system. And the Israelites represent the kingdom of heaven. Who was the big man that kept coming out and standing out there and shouting? Who was the big man that kept... What? Goliath. How tall was he? Do you know? Do you remember what he said, how tall he was? Any of you children know how tall Goliath was? Very tall. Was he taller than me? Are you sure? I mean... No, it don't help. He must have been a lot taller than me. He was definitely about 3 or 4 feet taller than I was. How's that? 9 feet tall, yes. Is that what he said? 9 feet, yeah. 9 feet tall. Does anybody know what the Bible called Goliath? What was he? Not just a giant, but what was he? And I'll give you a clue here. I ought to give some clues here as to where we're going. Verse 4. What is he known as? What was Goliath known as? Verse 4. A champion. Now I want you to think about today, what do we call a champion? What is a champion? Somebody who is undefeated, right? Champ, yes. What's a champion? The best. The best. How many of you ever seen in the Olympics the throwing of the javelin or the... You ever seen that? Where they throw the spear? I want us to think that Goliath was a champion. Now, I don't think he played in the World Olympics at all, because I don't know if they existed then. But maybe in the... I don't know what they called it back then. What was that thing called? Colosseum. I don't know if they had them back then. I don't have my timelines in order there with all that. But anyway, he was a champion. He was known as a champion. So he was never defeated, number one. And he was the best. And he was trained and trained and trained and trained to be a warrior. A best warrior. The best that ever lived. And he was undefeated. Do you ever go to tournaments and you're undefeated? Does that mean we're undefeated before God? I want us to think about that. I think he was a champion at javelin throwing. But what was David? Then David comes, then we move on a little bit. Okay, he's known as a champion, and he's standing out on the hill and he's calling out to the Israelites. What was he calling out to them? What did he yell out each day? Does anybody know what he yelled out? What was he yelling to the Israelites? And anybody can ask. I want the children to pay attention. Now, hopefully I can keep the children's interest in this. But what was he yelling out? David. He was yelling out at the Israelites, right? What was he saying? Let me see if I can find the exact verse. Verse 10. What was he saying to the Israelites? Who's going to fight me? He did say that, yes. But what was something else he was saying? I think that's the VeggieTales version. No, I'm just kidding. He was defying the Lord. He was defying the God of Israel. I want to ask you a question now. If there's a man out there defying the God of Israel, if there's a man out there, what is the problem with Goliath defying the God of Israel? What's the problem with that? Does it matter? What's the problem with that? Defying God. What is that? What does that mean? Let's look at that just for a minute. What does it mean to defy God? To pretend he don't exist? Or to act like, who's going to believe anything he has to say? Who wants to believe in a God? I mean, come on, people. Let's get real. I mean, that's kind of where Goliath was at. Like, what's wrong with you people? You know, he's defying their God. It was against God's kingdom of Israel. What if someone said to you, around you said, I don't care what the Word of God says. What if somebody says that to you? What does that do to you? What does that do inside when someone says, well, I don't really care what the Word says. This is what I'm going to do. What happens in here when somebody says that? I don't really care what the Word says. What, does that trigger something in your spirit? Do you see what I'm getting at? I want to show something here, what was going on between Israelites and the Philistines. I want to understand this, because there's something deeper going on than just this battle that was going on. What if somebody says that? What would that do to your spirit? When you're there talking to someone, they say, well, I don't really care what the Word of God says. Don't that strike a chord? A nerve? Kind of inside? Okay, we'll get back to that here in a minute. How many days, children, how many days did Goliath continue to do this? How many days was he doing this? Defying the living God? How many days? Anybody know? How many days did he keep doing that? How many? 40. That's a long time, isn't it? 40 days. That's a long time. For Emmanuel, it gets pretty long. 40 days is pretty long. 40 days, yes. Now, when David's father went out to find him out in the fields, wherever he was grazing his sheep, does anybody know what he wanted David to do? What did David's father go out there and ask him to do? To what? Give food to his brothers. He took them pizza and hamburgers, right? No. Bread. Yes. He took them bread. What was he supposed to do? Does anybody know what he was supposed to do? Huh? What did he do? Yeah, he did. We're going to get to that in a minute. What else was he supposed to do? Does anybody else know what he was supposed to do to the brothers? He was supposed to go check up how the battle was going. How was the fight going? How was the war going between them and between the Christians and the world system? Between the Israelites and the Philistines? He was supposed to go check and bring word back. How's that going? What is happening there? Is there a victory starting to happen? What's happening? He was supposed to go check this out and see what's going on. So David, what did David let, okay, first of all, when David got out there to the battlefield, what did he hear? What did he hear as he approached the camp? What was he hearing? There were some things he kept hearing. What was he hearing? A war cry. He kept hearing this war cry. He kept hearing what the Philistines were doing or saying against his God. And what did David do? Immediately when he heard what was going on, immediately he dropped the food with the keeper. He didn't even give the food to his brothers or whoever he was supposed to give it to. He just dropped it with the keeper. Because it just drove him, it sparked something inside of him immediately when he heard the Philistines defying his God. It just struck a chord. And he drops the food. And he ran to meet his brothers. And as David met with his brothers, who came out and defied the God of Israel while he was there talking to his brothers? Goliath. Whew! What did the Israelites do when Goliath yelled at them? What did they do when Goliath would come out and do that? They ran. Why did they run? They were scared. They were terrified. They were terrified and they ran. Now, they ran with great fear. Why do you think they ran with great fear? Goliath scared them. Do we run in great fear sometimes? Because we're a Christian and the world system scares us? Do we sometimes run in fear? Or do we take a stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Think about it. A lot of parallels here. I won't go into a long whole sermon on this whole thing. I just want to get through some of this here just to bring some. Okay? What did David ask when he heard Goliath? What did he ask his brothers when he heard Goliath? What did he ask them? Do anybody know? What did he ask his brothers? Goliath. Yep, Goliath. That's right. What did he ask them, though, his brothers, when he heard Goliath saying all this? He said, what will be done for the one who gets rid of this disgrace from Israel? All this condemnation that was coming from the world system. What will be done for the one who gets rid of this? What would be done for that person? And they had a whole thing, a list of things that would be done. Then he said, who is this Philistine that defies the army of the living God? Who is he? Then when David's oldest brothers heard him speaking with the men, what did he think? David's oldest brother, what did he think? When he heard David going around trying to figure out what's going on here, what's happening? Who is this Goliath? What's happening here? What did his brothers think? His oldest brother looks at him and says, why did you come down here? Why did you come here? Who's tending your sheep? Then he also said, you're conceited and proud and arrogant. Your heart is wicked. That's what his brothers thought of David when he stood there and said, who is this Goliath that we need to deal with this? And then David says, now what have I done? What have I done? Can I even speak? Then Saul heard about what David was asking around to all the men. Then Saul brought him in. What did David tell Saul? David told Saul, let no one lose heart over this Philistine. I will go and fight him. I will go and fight him. Now I want you to think about this. Here was a whole army of people and King Saul. And they were all afraid of this man. They were all afraid of what was going on. And here comes David and he says, I'll go fight him. Why do you think he did that? Let me explain something. This is what happens a lot of times, what I see happens a lot of times in conflict. And it comes down to this here, and we tend to do this from Christians to world system also. Do you know why it's so hard to defy that stuff? One of the things that starts to come out of that is we want to try and figure out, we want to prove to other people my righteousness, how right I am. See what I mean? That's what the Philistines were trying to do. That's what the Israelites were trying to do. Prove how right they were. Instead of proving how right their God is. See what I mean? There's a big difference between proving my righteousness and God's righteousness. And David wasn't even concerned about the Israelites' righteousness. He didn't care if they had their offerings right on time or if they did all this stuff. All he cared about is that they were defying the God of heaven. That's what he cared about. That's what he got so stirred up about. That's why he said, who is this? And what's going on? And he says, I'll go take care of that. Then what did David tell Saul? God saved me from the paw of what? What did God save David from? Somebody said it back here earlier. What did God save David from when he was out in the fields? A lion and a bear. Whew. Then he says, David said, surely God will deliver me from the hand of Goliath. If he delivered me from the hand of the lion and the bear, surely he'll deliver me from that giant. So Saul wanted to dress David up in his armor. Do you think to the rest of the people it looked pretty foolish to not wear armor? Because David says, I can't fight like this. This is crazy. I mean, he probably should have sent him to school for a while to figure out if he knew how to even use a sword and all his stuff, right? Now, I'm not degrading going to school. I'm simply saying that this is what we tend to do when something like this came up, okay? And you know what? Many times today, spiritual battles are so much the same way. Spiritual battles come up, and we want to try and like do the same thing as what Saul and David's brothers did to try and figure out all these details. So, children, what did David take along when he went out to meet Goliath? What did he take along? A what? How many stones did he take? Five. And a slingshot and what else? A slingshot and a staff. I don't know what the staff is, but he took a staff because he was a shepherd boy. Okay? Listen, today we fight many spiritual battles and the same principles still apply. One of the things I want to challenge us with the story of David is this. Do we get more concerned about my righteousness or God's righteousness? Is it more important that I look right or that God looks right? God looks right. That's exactly right. There's a prophet in the making. Absolutely. It's more important that God looks right. Not about my righteousness. And a lot of times that's where we come down to. It's about my righteousness. I want to prove that I'm right. And it's not about me being right. It's about God being right. The kingdom of this world versus the kingdom of heaven. If people are defying God's word, the Spirit of God within you should rise up and recognize something is wrong. Something's missing. Something's wrong. Conflict and decisions many times are determined by who is right and who is wrong. Remember, it's not about your righteousness. It's about God's righteousness. What makes God look good? It's all about God's righteousness. What makes God look good? That's what I want us to remember out of the whole David and Goliath thing. Because it wasn't about whether the Israelites' righteousness was better than the Philistines' righteousness. It was about the God of heaven that was the Israelites' God. It wasn't about their righteousness. It was about his righteousness and about making him look good. That's why David come walking in there with no fear. He's like, let's do this. Let's deal with this. And he's like, there's no fear involved with that because it wasn't even about David's righteousness. It was about God's righteousness, the God of heaven that he believed in. Psalm 23 is probably a good illustration of what happened there. If we turn to that Psalm 23, and I want you to picture David out with his sheep, maybe as a rock, as a pillow, but he's laying there and he's glaring up into the heavens and he's communing with his God that he understood. The God of heaven. He understood this God of heaven because he laid out there and he worshiped him and he talked with him and he sang praises to him and he constantly was in communion with God. Constantly. Constantly. And then he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." And he says, "Lord, you lead me beside quiet waters. Lord, you restore my soul. You guide me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake." And he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You, Lord, anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want you to think of that with David. He understood this God of heaven to a T. I mean, to a T, I don't mean that in the wrong way. I'm just saying that he was so communing with God that when something came up to defy God, he didn't really care where that was coming from. That needed to be stopped. That just needed to be stopped. And that's where David was so adamant about what was going on, because it was defying the living God. And today, when things come up in your life and you see things around you and people are outright defying the living God, it should spark something so deep within you that just comes up to the surface. It's not about whether you're right and they're wrong, or they're wrong or vice versa, they're right and you're wrong. It's not even about that. And a lot of times, that's all we start to focus our fights on, or our conflicts on, is who's right, who's wrong, instead of, wait a minute, who is this God? And we can carry that one the whole way to the bank in everything we do. Who is this God of heaven, that he would give us the breath of life, that he would give us his son to die on a cross, that we could have life eternal, that he would do all these things for everyone who chooses to accept that? Who is the God? That's a great, mighty God. That's a powerful, words can't even describe how great that is. And I want us to remember that today.